This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
You're listening to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Lynn Mark. Around the world, a massive drive to vaccinate the global populace is underway. And here in Malaysia, we're no exception. With more and more vaccination centres being set up to administer COVID-19 vaccines, volunteers from the public and from NGOs are becoming more vital to ensure a smooth vaccination process. And in some cases, to also make sure people are able to attend their appointments at all. So to shine a spotlight on these volunteer efforts this morning, I'm speaking with Michelle Ng, Subang Jaya Assemblywoman and Said Al-Huzari, General Manager of Program Development and Operations at Mercy Malaysia. Michelle, Said, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having us.
In terms of the vaccination progress, what would you say are some of the on-the-ground issues? What is the sentiment that you've encountered so far? Michelle, perhaps let's start with you. I know you're also running the Subang Jaya Senior Citizen Vaccination Transport Program. What are your thoughts here?
Yeah, so thank you so much for having us. In terms of problems that we face, that's what I call typical problems, and they are more unique problems. So typical problems would be, for example, where people get appointments very far away. So for Subang Jaya, you might get an appointment in Bangi or far into Klang. And then if you want to solve it, you have to contact the vaccine hotline or emails, which unfortunately still remain quite unresponsive. So that is the other second typical problem. And then the third one, which is kind of tapering off, are people who did not sign up for AstraZeneca, the opt-in program, but still got an appointment anyway. So those are the typical problems. Now, unique problems are unique to certain groups of people. So for example, Subang Jaya is a student hub. We have many private institutions here. A lot of them need to travel overseas because they're on training programs, or you know, they've finished their foundation and now have to go and do their undergraduate. And they need to get vaccinated fast because they need to get on the plane fast as well. And unfortunately, this group of people don't really have a solution on the horizon. Then you also have another problem for seniors who are 60, 70, 80 years old, who now, at least in Subang Jaya, we see don't necessarily follow the age group when it comes to vaccination. It seems to be jumping around, and that has caused a level of anxiety. And finally, there was an announcement earlier made by B. Kyrie, that husband and wife should be allowed to be vaccinated together, but we see that that is not necessarily happening on the ground.
And Said, what about you? Because I know that Mercy Malaysia is also assisting the health ministry in conducting sort of door-to-door vaccine outreach programs starting this month. What has been your experience of some challenges faced?
Well, I mean, on the ground, in general, what we have been seeing and hearing from the people, this is on a very general and broad basis, is that people are still saying that the vaccination program is too slow. But the good thing is we also know that people do want to be vaccinated, as what we can see from their reaction. So there's a lot of reason why the vaccine rate was very very slow and low in the very beginning. But no, this reasoning has created a lot of confusion among the public, mainly on the vaccine stocks and also approval process by NPRA. And the other issue from the very beginning has always been the registration through MySejahtera, which itself has become an important tool for the whole immunization program, but it has also become a hurdle. We know, people always talk, they try to contact the help desk, but there's no answer. They send email, and then there's no response even after 5 days later. So we found that it is not the people that do not want to be vaccinated. Rather, they either do not have the means to register themselves, or they do have the means, but they are having technological disadvantages, like their phone capability, like certain, you only need to have like certain iOS to install like the MySejahtera apps. So we see ourselves, because we have been approached by the KKM from the first day to fill in the gap, be it in terms of doing awareness programs for the public, setting up PPV, getting our volunteers to support the public PPV, supporting the mobile vaccination program that government is having to institutions like old folks home, etc. So I think more efforts are taking place to increase the vaccination capacity, and we are doing more at this front as well.
And in terms of getting people to volunteer to help with the programs that both of you are running, have there been difficulties?
So Subang Jaya is running a program where we transport the elderly, especially those who are living alone, to PPVs. And as of today, we've had 258 people call in since we launched the program on the 28th of May, which is 3 weeks ago. And we have completed 165 trips. So when we recruited volunteers, we were very particular with group that we were looking at, simply because we wanted to reduce their risk and exposure to COVID as much as possible. So we are looking at younger people who must be vaccinated. So that really limits the pool, because you're looking at young people who got the AZ vaccine. That's the only way that they can be vaccinated, and who have spare time on their hands. So we have 27 volunteers now, but we do need more because most of them are working. And so if you have, for example, 12, 20 trips a day that you have to make, it does become quite difficult coordinating all these volunteers. That's the challenge that we are facing. We started off for good reason with a very small pool of people that we're looking at. We just need more people on board to help us out.
Inside?
Yep. The main vaccination program, Volunteer Drive, is being managed by MyVac, and Mercy Malaysia is part of that. It's an online platform and a one-stop center where volunteers, both medical and non-medical, can register, get training, certification, sign their indemnity, and then select their PPV of their choice. It works mainly, but the challenges is that volunteers must choose to volunteer for at least a week, or some PPV insist they can only volunteer for at least a month. So for some volunteers, this is not possible, as they are taking their time off from their current work or task to volunteer. So getting medical volunteer, which is the key to vaccination program, is another challenge, because we are sharing the same pool. We require the volunteers, medical volunteers especially, for both vaccination program, and also we are supporting the COVID-19 case management, the testing, screening, treatment of patients, by KKM. So we are getting from the same pool. So this really limits our resources. And then there's also discussion, which we are trying to, and we among the NGO and also KKM trying to sort out, which is to allow medical grad student to give jab. But there is the issue of them not having their temporary license or their annual practicing certificate. But if this can be sorted out, this means that we have like more people to give out vaccination. So right now we are in competition as well, I would say, with the general practitioner who are part of the vaccination program, whereby they are recruiting temporary medical staff to deliver their contract commitment with Protect Health. I mean, this is a good thing, but definitely it means more challenges for us in getting more volunteers to do vaccination programs in the remote areas and so on.
So, Syed, in terms of engaging with the MOH, with MOSTI, in your experience, what do you think can be improved?
KKM is definitely not a singular entity. It is a vast organization with a lot of branches. We have been attending meetings with KKM and for different purposes under different branches or division. So you have CPRC on the current case management, but even CPRC, they have different decision makers for screening and management of treatment facilities. For vaccines, it's under the Family Health Development Division. So I've been meetings with different sections at different timings. So I think what would be more practical is to have an NGO liaison under the Ministry of Health to manage the communication with the same NGO, even if the NGO is required to support like different type of operations of KKN.
And Michelle, from your perspective, I mean, how can government policy perhaps facilitate the work that you and your volunteers are doing? What more needs to be done? And is there cross-party cooperation to be had here?
Yeah, in terms of our program, so we are running it in a very localized manner where it is for Subang Jaya residents. But we do see this model working. And if there is empowerment, especially funding for whether it is ADUN's office or MP's office for them to play their role, I think that would go a very long way because your elected reps would know their constituency and have roots to be able to establish such networks. So as of now, in so far as transport programs like these are concerned, I'm not aware of any cross-party cooperation, but certainly it's something that we will very much welcome.
I'm speaking with Michelle Ng, Subang Jaya Assemblywoman, and Syed Al-Huzari, General Manager of Program Development and Operations for Mercy Malaysia. Up next, the ever-present question for volunteer efforts. How are they getting funding? Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
On the Breakfast Grill this morning is Michelle Ng, Subang Jaya Assemblywoman, and Syed Al-Huzari, General Manager of Program Development and Operations at Mercy Malaysia. So how are you both funding your efforts? Perhaps we can start with Mercy, because I know Mercy, you run donation drives throughout the year, and you run multiple programs, not just here in Malaysia, but overseas as well. How are you managing donor fatigue now, 1 year into the pandemic situation here in Malaysia?
Yep. So for funding, it is definitely another key issue that we as NGO has to address, where we do depend on, while we do depend on volunteers, there are expenses that is required in order for us to deliver our tasks. To name a few, like to pay for logistics, consumables and welfare for our team. So for this, we have launched an appeal targeting about 7 million ringgit to fund our entire COVID-19 operations for the full MCO, which includes the vaccination program amounting around 1.8 million ringgit. It will definitely take time for us to get or achieve the full target amount. But right now, we are able to mobilize with whatever donation that we have received to date. So we are starting small with, because this pandemic has been going on for more than a year. So there's definitely donors fatigue, as some of them do not see the way out, even they have been contributing all this while. So this is on top of the economic reason. So there's a lot of convincing to do as well with the donors. We do have like the constant donors, donors who are loyal to us. And of course, we are still approaching, the public. So public also have the same issues. They used to contribute more before, but now they are contributing less, but it's still coming in.
And Michelle, what about you? Because your drive is much more localized. Have you been able to secure funding, or are you funding this primarily out of pocket?
Fortunately, we do have our annual allocation that we can tap into, and we are given quite a lot of autonomy as to how to spend it. So that has been our method of funding for now. However, we are very conscious that with more people calling in, we might need to turn to community support as well. Fortunately, we have not yet reached that stage, but we do expect that it will probably be a matter of time. And we are considering our options at this time.
I'm also curious about those who might be vaccine hesitant. How are you approaching these groups of people, perhaps to encourage them or to inform them that in large part dangers over the vaccines have been overplayed?
Yeah, so I think that is a reality that we faced, especially in the early part of the year during the vaccine rollout, less so now, but it is still in existence. And there is no fast solution to it. The only solution is through engagement. And we noticed that a lot of the fear stems from, in large part, misinformation. And so one way that we found, which helps, is to really listen to them and to bring in experts who will be able to assist in providing accurate information as to what's going on out there, scientific medical data to be able to address their concerns. So I would just give you one example. We had an engagement before, much earlier before the MCO in SS14, and there was a gentleman who expressed a lot of concern that, look, I'm an old man with many conditions, and I doubt that there is someone out there who has taken the vaccine with my conditions. And so a way that we used to allay his concern was being very factual, very fact-based, by saying, look, up until that point, when we did the engagement, there were 22 million people around the world that have been vaccinated, and less than 1% of them have experienced serious side effects. Even for those who experienced side effects, they were treated. So on that basis, there shouldn't be any concern that, you know, there's no one out there with his medical profile that has not taken the vaccine. And also telling him about the process that, look, the doctors there, there will be consultation. So it's not as if you just turn up and you get jabbed. If the doctor feels that for certain medical reasons, it is not suitable for you to take the vaccine at the PPV, we know of cases who have been referred to the hospital. So just being very fact-based and engagement really helps.
And what about you, Said? I mean, does Mercy have a lot of engagement with the vaccine hesitant portion of our community?
At the moment, we do not have like any strategy to approach the anti-vaxxers. In this case, we do acknowledge them as a challenge, but they are 10% more or less vocal minority. We have to do more to convince those with reasonable doubts. We are concentrating our advocacy efforts towards those who are still unsure, meaning those whose opinion can be swayed based on what they read or hear on that day. And then those who have like fear to be detained, especially the illegal migrants and refugees. So this is our focus for advocacy. This is where trust comes into place, because as civil society organization, we are leveraging on our grassroots engagement to manage this perception issues on vaccination. We have communities whom we have always supported with other programs, and then they usually have more trust to organizations like Mercy Malaysia or any NGO in that matter as compared to the government. And this is where we are using our advantage in getting them to be vaccinated. So I think more people are, including politicians, influencers, religious leaders, are doing the same. And I think if they are not doing it, they have to start, from now, because this will really make a lot of difference.
Now, I also just want to ask a slightly broader question to the both of you, how the pandemic has affected your operations. Michelle, we'll start with you. How has the pandemic affected the Subang Jaya constituency, would you say?
So when the especially MCO has announced, we were under the assumption that the hardest hit will be the low-income group. And certainly that was true for the first MCO. So we were under the assumption that now going into the third MCO, that pattern would remain. However, from our experience, we noticed that this is not the case, simply because it appears that the low-income group has on their own and also through our networks established their own aid network with whether it is NGOs, or our office or the MP's office in order to get aid. So their access to such information is quite well established. However, we noticed that what we call the new poor within the M40 are quite left out when it comes to, number one, information as to how to get help, and also our access to them. So we are trying to establish this network in trying to discover who they are, and trying to reach out to them and say that, hey, look, you know, we are here to help you through this time as well. And if you still need help, please do reach out. Don't be afraid, because, look, we're all in this together. And so this includes as well things like the digital gap, things like education, things like food, jobs. All across the board, we notice that there is this changing pattern that's happening on the ground.
And Syed, how would you say the pandemic has affected Mercy Malaysia's operations? So balancing between its main humanitarian relief responses and helping to fight against the pandemic here at home.
Well, being a medical NGO, the pandemic has affected our work. We are expected, by our donors and supporters to be at the forefront in supporting any response effort for the pandemic. From case identification, management, and even now the vaccination effort. However, because most of our other work outside of the pandemic response also related to medical or essential work, therefore, I mean, at the same time, we have to continue delivering our non-COVID programs, be it healthcare, water projects, and so on. And of course, we are definitely overstretched, but as long as there's support from donors, volunteers, and people with the same interests, we will keep expanding our programs to those in need, because at the end of the day, we are only filling in the gap. The government is still, you know, the first and the last resort when it comes to welfare of the communities. However, for our international operations, we are not able to mobilize our Malaysian team, at least at the moment, but we are quite established in a few countries where we are operating, including in Myanmar, Bangladesh, the Philippines, and so on. Therefore, we have a reliable team on the ground, including partners, to continue our work there.
Thank you so much to the both of you for the work that you're doing, and certainly good luck during this time. I wonder if you could tell our listeners how they might get in touch with you if they are potentially looking to volunteer.
For Mercy Malaysia, you can visit our website, mercy.org.my, or you can visit our social media, Facebook, just type Mercy Malaysia, and Telegram, you just type Mercy Malaysia, and then there's a Telegram group there. For Mercy Malaysia, we usually post all the opportunities for volunteering in our social media and also in our website, so they can visit those avenue.
For us, we are on Facebook, Instagram, and also Twitter. If you just look me up, Michelle Ng Maisie, M-E-I-S-Z-E, my full name, you should be able to find me on all platforms. Just buzz us there, or if you're interested in emailing us, you can do so at michelle.dunsubangjaya, that's D-U-N-Subangjaya, at gmail.com.
Thank you both for joining us this morning. I've been speaking with Michelle Ng, Subangjaya Assemblywoman, and Syed Al-Huzari, General Manager of Program Development and Operations at Mercy Malaysia. This has been The Breakfast Grill. I'm Lynn Mark, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.